I fly like Portugal, I like planes. If you catch me at the border, I go visit them in the night. If you come over here, I make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like Portugal, I like planes. If you catch me at the border, I go visit them in the night. If you come over
here, all right. Guess what? We have a special guest in the house. I haven't talked to my bro for a minute. So here we are. We're catching up, guys. Steve Lee Comedy is in the motherfucking building.
Woo!
What up, Steve? How are you, dude?
What up, brother? Old timer.
Like, yeah, I haven't seen you since New Year's. New Year's was the last time we hung out.
Yeah.
So how's your New Year been? How did it start out for 2020? Did you get a good start this year? Was it slow?
I did okay. I think I am okay because I'm invited back to there's a big comedy festival called Skankfest.
So you're going back to Skankfest.
Yep, the guy invited me back.
That's great.
They're flying me out there.
They're flying you out again?
Yeah, but I mean, I have to get my own place, probably
Airbnb. Yeah. They're going to cover your ticket round trip.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yep, is ticket prices lower now because of the virus?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because right now, like, travel's down.
Well, for now is end of February. The U.S. is still okay overall. There's one death. There's, like, finally one death.
In the U.S.?
And
it wasn't even in the U.S. It was in the Philippines.
Yeah, they got it from somewhere else. No, the guy came back, and he died in
How old was he? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because the case I heard was an older guy in the Philippines, which is U.S. territory.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a very, like, poor health. So I think where the coronavirus really infects people is you got to be either really old.
Yeah, or you have, like, a long time, like, a long-term disease.
Yeah, because if you look at the numbers, right, they're like, oh, my God, 2,000 deaths out of 80,000. That's actually a very small percentage.
Around 2%, they're saying. 2-ish percent.
The flus are higher.
No. The flu is actually lower.
It's lower?
Yeah, it's lower.
Okay.
But it's, because we had the flu for, like 2-3, like almost 100 years now.
Yeah.
Most of us have some kind of immune. We're immune to the flu.
So do you want to hear my conspiracy theory about the coronavirus? So, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe, like, you know, when I hear my friends talk about the Illuminati or people that control the social trends, I feel like they had it up to enough with the Asians making so much progress. I think Crazy Rich Asians came out one of the highest grossing movies of all time, all Asian cast. Then we get the first ever Chinese American to win a Golden Globe. Shout out to Awkwafina. And then Korean Parasite won Best Picture, right? In the Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so I'm thinking
they're killing it.
They're killing it so hard. I just picture seven shadows in a smoke-filled room, cigar smoke everywhere. And a guy goes, enough. And he slams his hands on the table and he goes, release the virus. Because now it's like, you know, everything that we do that's progressive is being counteracted by this fucking stupid disease. And like Steve came in here and, you know, a lot of Asians are being targeted. There's cases in London of like a fucking sushi restaurant getting vandalized. Exactly. It's like they're not even specific about the Asians. There was a funny guy told me to tell a joke. He goes, you should say this. Like, statistically, it says that one out of every five people are likely to get the coronavirus.
Yeah.
But five out of five Chinese people will probably get it. But it's like, guys, if you're going to go fucking smash a window, go smash like a fucking, like, I don't know. Just don't smash any windows, dude. I mean, just because we're Asian doesn't mean that we carry the disease.
It's like you don't like French, but you go vandalize, you know, like Russian stuff, you know.
Well, it's creating a lot of it's creating mass hysteria. That's what happens when you know, like a fucking air blows up an airplane. It's like, oh, let's you know, everyone turns their hate towards the Middle Eastern community, and like right now, it's unavoidable. I'm honestly kind of sick of it. I mean, every fucking second. There's something about a virus. Either you go online, either you turn on the TV. And then you see the people that are infected, right? They're interviewing the Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is my fourth day with the virus. Like, are you joking? Like, is he, like, playing around? Like, where's the, like, he doesn't look sick. Like, none of them. So the statistics are saying, like, the actual side effects are pretty mild. But the people that get infected or affected the most are the older older people or people with poor health conditions.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're a media company, first of all, it's great news for them because everybody are stuck in front of the TV or look at your news.
Yeah. Stories. So now, yeah, it's like they get to, it's like a comedian who like can't write new jokes. So he's just banking on that fucking, you know, that same joke. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like, come on, guys. Like, that's all you have. Like, that's our biggest news. I'm just thinking, like, current event wise, it's a trip, dude, because we are living, guys, in a very interesting time. Like, we lived through an impeachment trial, which has not happened since the Nixon administration.
Yeah, and also, like, people are being chill about it.
It's like yeah, and whatever. Then now we have this coronavirus thing. And then, you know, it's just, there's all kinds of weird shit happening. But it's neither here nor there.
No, did you hear today, Costco, all the water is being bought. All the bottled water is gone.
Because people think about.
Yeah. And that, but I'm like, wait a minute. What does fucking water have anything?
Well, here's the thing. People are paranoid as fuck, right? Like my dad, even before the news broke out. I mean, he was going to literally every single like supply store and buying out surgical masks. And he literally like does this where
he's the guy who bought
his whole fucking trunk is not, they're just stacked in there. So every time a customer comes, cause he drives Uber, he has a mask for you for fight the coronavirus. So you go in my dad's car, instead of getting a water bottle, you leave with a fucking surgical mask. So in a way it's like, he's spreading propaganda like a motherfucker, right? Cause they hop in this car. Like, what if you're just this chill dude, right? And you're like, you don't think anything of it. And then here's this, yeah, you did the but that here's a surgical mask. Like, it's gonna definitely implant some shit in your head. So in a way, like, my dad is one of those people where he's super paranoid. And but you know, the sad thing about Chinese people, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to say anything bad towards my community, but you know, the mainlanders are very like don't give a fuckish, right? Like, if a mainlander had it and knew it, he would probably still go around and not give a fuck. Like,
well, that's one reason why the virus starts spreading, because when the city, you know, Wuhan were blocked,
yeah,
the people who could get out was like, I'm gonna get the fuck out.
My
of
friend,
here. And they start traveling to different places.
It's weird because my friend is from Wuhan, and he, yeah. I just spoke to him the other day, and he's like, yeah, my family's out there. They're infected. He's like, no. But it's just nuts because in China, it's a serious thing. Like, you know, David, right? So I have a lot of business partners in China, and we're always talking. We're always like, you know, very.
Is he there now?
Yeah. So usually we're very in communication, but now it's like he's disappeared. And I literally asked him because I buy, you know, shit and flip it from him, like import export stuff. And I message him. I go, hey, what's going on with the new shipment? He texts us back. Corona. And that's it. And so I don't know if he's being quarantined or like, you know.
You know why? Because all the factories are shut down.
Yeah. So like
the workers. Okay, just imagine this, right? Someone like you, someone from Colorado.
Yeah.
You work for you in LA. And then all of a sudden Colorado is being quarantined. The guy couldn't get out. So imagine every region have their own quarantine, so everybody can't get out.
Fucking people are being quarantined, dude.
You know how they quarantine?
It reminds me of, like, have you seen E.T.?
Yeah, yeah.
When they...
Oh, no, I saw only part of it. Yeah. I haven't seen the whole thing.
So Steve hasn't seen Stranger Things, but here's my Stranger Things reference. Do you guys remember the secret forest that they got to go into and they wear, like, the hazmat suit? Because they're so paranoid because they don't know, like, what is inside. So they keep trying to go deep in the forest, but they keep turning back because they're scared. That's how I feel when I go into, like, Chinese supermarkets now. Because I like walk into the grocery aisle and I'm like, ah, I can't do this. And now I can't do like Chinese massages. So no more massages, you know, like
the happy
I
used to always.
No, not happy. Honestly, guys, I'm not one of those happy ending massage guys. Although I know my friends do it. I just feel like, why would I pay for it when I could give myself my own happy ending and save the $100? You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like some hot chick giving you a happy ending. It's like some old Ajima, you know, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I just don't feel like I would deal with the shame.
Yeah.
Like afterwards. Like, I have a friend. Okay. I'm not going to say who it is. It's a mutual friend. He recently went out of the country and he's pretty chill. He just went through a breakup. And so, you know, like anytime you think people who go to Thailand, as guys, what do we say? Oh, don't go and fuck a hooker, right? Because you automatically, you're not there for the pad thai and shit, right?
No, actually,
because it's just like that's what.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a straight guy. Yeah,
so my friend is straight as fuck, right? Yeah, and I really, it just caught me off guard because he went, and we're hanging out, and he goes, "Dude, I got a happy ending." While I was out there just out of nowhere. And I was like, really? And he's like, how is it? And he's like, it was just kind of weird. Cause like, he's like, one night I went out and I was all horny. And then he started Googling these places. And then, you know, I guess it's like, you know, it's very abundant out there. So he went down there and, he said, what happened was the girl gives you a massage, like a normal massage.
Yeah.
But she'll keep hitting your dick, like to kind of like, hint to you. And he's like, she kept hitting my dick. So I go, he goes, well, can I fuck you? And she's like, no, we can't fuck, but I can like jack you off or whatever. Yeah. He's like, okay. So I guess she like, you know, did her thing. And then he told me it was like super good or whatnot. And, you know, that was that. But it's weird to think of that thing because I don't know. Have like, be honest right here, like off the air. Have you had?
Of course, I'm from that part of the world. All young guys do it.
Okay. For anyone out there judging, please don't judge. I'm not trying to be like Nice Guy.
It's kind of like weed here.
Yeah.
Weed in California and America is nothing.
I wanted to
explain. But if you go to Asia, oh, geez.
Yeah, you'll get thrown in the death penalty. Yeah. So sex out there is almost like a service. Now, granted, I'm not trying to be Mr. Clean Guy. Like, I haven't done it. I've never been put in that position. I have a girlfriend, so, like, I really don't need to do that stuff. But I could see a guy who's lonely, who, you know, doesn't get fucking laid.
What's wrong with it? It's legal too.
And it's weird, dude. There was a guy at the gym. He's a Vietnamese guy. And you know when you have small talk with people?
Yeah.
A lot of times people are just trying to get out of the small talk. That's what it just – it's just like – it's just dumb questions. And then you are like, okay, have a great day. So I'm trying to connect to this guy. We're working out, right? I'm asking, how's your kid? Okay. Like he won't – like he's not connecting to me, right?
Yeah.
So I finally made a joke. I was like, well, you might as well just go to one of those fucking massage houses and get a happy ending. He's like, you know about the massage? His fucking eyes lit up and he went, you know about the massage? Oh, yeah, I went there last night, man. I had two good one time, man. And I'm like, in Vietnam? No, here, the Wollen Hai, man. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And then, dude, he came alive. He was so fucking horny. His words, like, oh, man, I'm there last night. Get two for one, man. Oh, man, but you ever have the Malaysian girls? Like, no. Oh, yeah, I have one Malaysian, and they even have the Mexican to play.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm like,
give me that guy's number.
So then I'm like, but here's the weird thing. For like 3 months straight, we were talking about his family and kids.
Oh, you see him like from time
to time? So it was like, it used to be, it was like that, like, bullshit, like, you know, surface talk. Yeah, and then I fucking revealed, I uncovered the layers, right? So the whole time he's like, yeah, fuck the good man, I love it. And then I'm just like thinking about his kids and his wife because he's always telling his kids. So I go, well, you don't, like, is that cheating on your wife? No, not cheating. I'm not in love. I just go there to fuck. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cheating. Like, you can't just fuck and then be, okay, look. I was like, so you don't like, are you intimate with your wife? He's like, no, I'm not intimate with my wife no more, but I'm gonna tell you Sequa in Vietnam, and I'm gonna tell you, and everybody know this saying in Vietnam. I'm like, what? If she don't know how to work the bed, you make her work the stove. Dude, I swear, and I go, wow, that is so one-sided.
No, I mean, like, that's an old school. He's like, really he worked the
door. I don't fuck her anymore, but she make me the food, make her happy.
I mean, here's the thing. To be honest, like, if you tell an American girl or a white girl this, they're going to get all pissed off, right? Get all feminist on us, right?
Yeah,
right.
But it's...
But what he's saying...
Is true.
That's the reality of marriage.
He said the reality, he's like...
And then there will be, like, reality from the women's side, you know, from the wife's side.
And he's like, she doesn't care. I was like, does she care? No, not care. I that night I have been the partner come in, and then I take them to the whole house, and then we, you know, have dinner. I was like, dude, I've never had a meeting where it's like, all right, we're going to go play golf. We're going to fuck some prostitutes. And then let's regroup for coffee around 5. It's
no,
like,
actually, I have.
But that's the way the Chinese do it.
No, but I was single at the time, and I was working in China.
Yeah, so it's not as taboo, guys. And that's why you think, oh, there's all these busts on massage places
here. I mean,
here's
the thing. Like, that's why, like, if you go to an Islamic country, if you tell people you drink, or you eat pork, it's crazy for them, right? Like, we do, for us, it's normal.
Right.
But it's the same idea, like, for us, smoking weed is normal here.
Yeah, but literally, if you were to be caught with weed in Singapore, you could get the fucking death penalty. Literally, like, it's so weird where one thing flies and another person. Yeah. So, back to this, like, hooker thing and the Vietnamese guy. This is my conclusion. Asian people, we're very horny. I think it's because Asian men have been very suppressed. It's, I think, desexualized by mass media or whatever it is. Because it was another guy, another time. I used to work at a tattoo supply company, and one of the warehouse guys always wanted to hang out. Like, he followed me on Instagram. Hey, dog, what are you doing tonight? I was like, oh, nothing. He's like, you want to kick it? I was like, nah, not really. I was like trying to blow him off. Oh, you want to kick it? Nah, dude. I'm not a hangout guy. You know, like, I like hang out with my friends. I do comedy. If I'm hanging out, it has to be something productive. I don't just go to a bar to shoot the shit. You know what I mean? Like, if I want to do that, I'll just go to the bar and do an open mic. Like, it's the same thing. So this guy's like, finally, he like just kept trying. So I go, all right, dude, what do you want to do? He's like, well, there's this fucking bathhouse. And it's always in Roland Heights. Where the fuck is Roland Heights? I've had dinner there with my dad so many times. I didn't know it was such a fucking sex district. Everyone goes to Roland Heights, right? So this guy's like, well, we can go to Roland Heights to the bathhouse. I'm like, well, what are we going to do at the bathhouse? He's like, I don't know. We could get some girls. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, they shower you, they feed you, they fuck you, they clip your toenails, they sing karaoke with you. It's like a whole night.
Oh.
And I go, okay, dude, back the fuck up, right?
Yeah.
I don't want that to be our first hang. We spend the night with prostitutes. Like, can we get coffee? Can we go watch a movie? Like, I don't want to be with him at the next day at the water cooler, like, hey, like, fucking bumping elbow, like, bumping dicks with him.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know if you guys know George. Check out his Instagram. George, out of right away, he looks like he sells weed every night.
Sells weed.
He tells you, like, he runs a massage parlor.
No, well, it's funny because my girlfriend thought, when she had met me, she thought I was a drug dealer who drove a Mercedes. I had fucking cocaine kilos in the door panels. Like, she had this fucking image of me. And then she does. I left on a skateboard in a fucking 1996 Toyota Camry with, like, bad exhaust engine problems. But it was just funny that most people think because they see me, I'm a little, you know, less obvious Asianing, like, that most people see, like, you know, it's just because I'm an alternative Asian.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a tattoo, if you're Asian, you know, automatically.
So what I like to say is I'm a Chinese starter kit. Okay. So if there's women out there who have never, like, been with a Chinese, you can't have Steve Lee. He speaks Hong Kong shit. He fucks fucking hookers. You know what I mean?
I'm dirty.
He's a real Chinese guy. He's lived. His dad got buried in Hong Kong. He goes back and forth. I mean, he's a little more advanced, right? You like, I'm the gateway drug. Like, I would be like marijuana before you get into like a meth addiction. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the stepping stone because I'm pretty simple. Like, I'm Panda Express Asian, right? Like, I'm very like Americanized. Yeah, so that's why, like, growing up, I never really had these, you know, crazy Asian experiences, only because I wasn't really running around with a lot of Chinese people. And it wasn't until I met this guy that I do business with, and he just broke it down. Like, you know, like, I really learned on the way the Chinese people think.
Your dad never told you.
My dad is a little more libertarian, like, he's a little more open-minded because, you know, he came here and he moved to a very, very white state. Colorado, there's no Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my dad had to assimilate, like, kind of like me with skating. Like, all his friends were white. His restaurant specialized in orange chicken, you know, like, he was a very whitewashed Asian person because that was his market.
No, actually, I went to Kansas. It's the same thing. So my first experience with Kansas.
Yeah, so it's like when you're, and that's probably why you're a little more, maybe that's why you do comedy. As a lot of, you know, Chinese people are very introverted.
Well, I mean that case is different because my family, my mom is slightly more open-minded.
Yeah.
But she grew up in a rich family in Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Yeah.
So you're not Indonesian.
I'm not Indonesian. I was born in Hong Kong, but my mom and my dad was born in Indonesia. So they're like Chinese Indonesian.
It's weird because my parents were born in Korea.
Oh, wow.
So they're Chinese Korean. And it was really confusing growing up because they weren't really like Chinese.
Yeah.
In terms of like, okay, if you have Korean friends, and this is a stereotype that is very, very true. If the house doesn't smell like mothballs and kimchi, they're not real Korean. Like, it has a certain smell.
Well, most real Korean households
smell like kimchi and mothballs.
I can say the same thing with Indian. I live in it with
them. You know, there's a smell.
I live in an Indian household.
Yeah. They cook curry.
It's
a curry. It's a smell.
They cook curry around once a week. And the smell lasts for a week.
It's so fucking heavy. It's
gas into your clothes. Because I didn't eat their food at a time.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't eat spicy stuff. But the smell gets into your blanket, your clothes, your backpack. I went to college at the time. I was staying in their house.
Yeah. Curry. Why is it that homeless people smell like curry? Do you know what I mean? It's like they don't eat curry, but they just end up smelling like curry. It smells like curry. Is curry just supposed to smell like bad or...
No, there's some ingredient that's like it probably long lasting.
But what is it? What's the ingredient that makes homeless people smell like that? Like, no, BO just in general, not homeless in general, like it smells like curry. When you have BO, you smell like curry.
I can't speak for that. I don't know about
that. It's a little weird.
But the smell, the Indian curry, dude.
It's pretty heavy.
And if you think if you go to a real Indian, not a whitewashed Indian restaurant.
No.
A real Indian restaurant.
Because they use heavy spices.
Yep.
You know what's another really...
But that's one good thing about a curry. Indian curries, they're very nutritious. And they're also... They kill a lot of germs.
Okay, it's very nutritious, but worst shits ever. It hurts.
Yeah.
Have you ever had curry and then the next day when you shit... It's like there is a flamethrower shooting out of your ass. It hurts.
I had some of those, but I think my stomach is
pretty strong.
I could take it.
Yeah, I think with me, like, I don't like spicy. I try.
You
like,
go to Sichuan restaurant, Chinese?
No,
Sichuan?
I can't. Like, dude, this one time I went to a Sichuan restaurant.
Yeah.
And there was a guy next to me, and he made me not want to eat because he had glasses. And he was sweating into the soup. And his fucking glasses kept fogging up where it made me so mad where I was like, just take them off, dude. Because they look like a like your car on a fucking like a cold morning. Like, and they just kept fogging up.
Disgusting, right?
And it just looks so painful. Like the way I saw him, even my dad, like he's eating and he's like patting his forehead with a fucking napkin. Yeah. How is that enjoyable?
Well, I mean,
where you're eating like it's a fucking Baptist church, dude.
They like the pain, I guess.
I don't like pain. I don't like feeling like my stomach is hot.
For example, sushi. Do you put the green stuff in there?
A little bit, but not enough where it like fucking makes me feel like. You know when you take it into your
the
nose?
The whole mouth.
I can't do it where it's at. It has to be so mild where it's like alcohol, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like you drink a mixed drink, you put too much vodka, you're like, you have to put more of the chaser, right?
So if you go to a real traditional Japanese sushi place.
I could, no, but they don't use.
He's like, they put the wasabi inside the sushi.
And it's, and it's very small amount.
I think maybe it's Americanized, but the first, if you had it the first time, dude,
it fucks you up. I think it's because you lived in San Francisco.
Well, I mean, I had it in Hong Kong.
They do that shit in San Francisco. Dude, I went to this one sushi place. It was the worst sushi place I've gone to. The chef looked like the Incredible Hulk, and it was almost like he was purposely trying to hurt people because he put so much wasabi in the fucking fish. Like that style?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, what is this, dude? I can't fucking eat this shit.
It's traditionally a good wasabi is not the one that look like
it. Hurt. My eyes were burning.
Okay, the really good wasabi that I was talking about, it looks like ginger. It doesn't look like a toothpaste.
Okay.
So those wasabi, you can actually taste it. Instead of getting all hot and spicy, you can actually taste the wasabi.
You can taste the wasabi.
Yeah. Those are the
wasabi? It's hot mustard, right?
It actually looks like ginger.
Okay, it's actual. Is it a vegetable?
Yes, yes. So it looks like ginger. I don't know if you guys cook, but it's like a giant version of a ginger.
So how do they get it to look all
crazy? So imagine a ginger. You grind it up.
Oh, kind of like hummus peas.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, they're wasabi peas.
Yeah,
they're like peas, right?
Yeah,
and then they grind it.
So no, it's like they're basically like this, and you cut the top.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut it in half, and you use that one to grind it to, you know, almost like a toothpaste. But a real wasabi is you can see, like the texture and like a ginger texture.
Okay.
But nowadays, you know, everybody uses the toothpaste. So
everyone uses the wasabi.
The toothpaste one.
Are you a sushi guy? You like?
I love sushi, dude. There was one place.
I love sushi too. But what kind of sushi like? Do you like omakase style? Have you had like good sushi?
Well, I don't like American style. American style, they put like marinade, like the mayonnaise. I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, here's what's funny about American style, because here, guys, most sushi restaurants you go to, you'll know they're not Japanese if they use mayonnaise, soy sauce, and the rice is like clunky.
Yeah, yeah. Usually they're over
99%. They're Korean ownership.
Yep, yep.
If you go to a real sushi shop, the guy, I feel like Japanese, they always have this certain look.
they're
very bald and very serious.
Okay, they're
but they're very like you could the minute you see them cut, you're like, this is a Japanese style.
I mean,
because it's a craft. You'll see it. Yeah, you'll see it the way they cut the
fish. This place I go to in Studio City, that's a Japanese owner. The chef is Japanese. So like the stuff that you see is like, I mean, he has to put, you know, because it's Hollywood, it's still kind of Hollywoodish. All the studio executives go there. Yeah. So he has to put, like,
he has
mayonnaise.
To do that fucking mayonnaise.
But I
spicy
tell him,
mayonnaise.
Hey, do the original style. He got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm Asian. So.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like the mayonnaise. I'm not going to like the mayonnaise. I'm a whitewashed Asian dude. Like, I'll eat it to fucking tempura. I'll eat a California roll. Like,
what
it's
happened,
a fucking,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Is,
like,
once you have
I'm not a sushi snob.
Yeah.
There are guys that will fucking look down on you. If you eat a California roll, it's almost like a hacky.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, you're a fucking hack, dude. Like,
so, because I grow up with it, you know, like, I have a relative who was really rich. So she used to take us to, like, real expensive Japanese place, dude.
I was spoiled
with that kind of, you know.
Eating real good Japanese sushi is literally like driving a Chrysler 300. And pulling up to a Bentley. Because, you know, it's like a wannabe Bentley. It's like you're in this nice car, until you see a really nice car. Yeah.
I mean, the
it's
thing
such
about
such a
these,
different yeah, level
about all these expensive luxury stuff is the texture.
So you're saying luxury food, and what are you?
Okay, one thing about these luxury items is actually like just little details, like you know the texture. For example,
yeah, the
texture of the sushi, right? And just the way that a good chef cut the fish. It be, like for example, imagine a fish is supposed to be rectangle, right? And all of a sudden they cut it to a triangle shape to save money. All of a sudden, if you put that thing in your mouth, it's like, doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right.
The corn, you see? You now, see, you can't tell.
It's
you
a
can't
fuck,
tell
do, have you seen Jiro, I Dream of Sushi? Jiro?
No.
So there's this guy in Japan that literally, like, his whole life he dedicated to making good sushi. And you watch his video, and I mean, this guy is like 30 years grandmaster shit. And it's like, wow. Like, the way we put our craft into comedy is the way this guy I mean he can't even like you know they do taste tests and shit like and it's crazy because you know when you think of food we just think like oh you know let's just eat like but when you eat good sushi when you eat good Chinese food when you just eat anything top notch I appreciate the artistry of what went into that piece of sushi. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, the way he cut it, the way the guy looks, the way, you know, it's like, the
just,
way
just
it looks.
Just the amount of rice.
The amount of rice. It's something
if
that,
it's too much, you can't feel it in your mouth.
You can feel it in your mouth. Yep. They just do enough rice.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, the rice is
cooked. A really good Japanese sushi place, the rice is actually very, like, it's kind of like very small.
Do you like ramen?
I'm okay with ramen.
Ramen's a little heavy. Okay, so if you were on death row and you had one last meal.
Oh, sushi?
It would? You'd pick
sushi?
Really?
Must be. But in America,
I thought that would be your stupid fucking chicken wings from JJ Cafe. You would pick sushi?
Absolutely. Okay. I love sushi, dude.
Look, you know, that's a... Yeah, omakase style.
But I think in America, I think you can only pick a certain item. It's always like fried chicken because most of them are
I
not.
Wonder, okay, like, if we went on death row and you're like, I want sasabune. It's like $1,000 sushi, right? You think they would
no,
get
that? No. They only have like a specific menu for you.
So I have a pretty crazy story I got to tell you. And for people listening, it's a pretty serious story. So this is headlining news. Do you know who Amy Hardwick is?
Oh yeah.
Do you know about Drew Carey's fiance?
I didn't know too much about her.
Okay, so let me just break this down to you. About 5 years ago, my friend started dating a girl named Amy, who was Amy Hardwick, and this is before she dated Drew Carey. This is before she got any type of publicity. They dated for 1 year. They're very serious, very in love, and. During the course of their relationship, my friend was telling me there had been her ex-boyfriend, the guy who ultimately ended up killing her. He was trolling their relationship. We're like, imagine like, okay, you're with a girl. We come home and someone broke into your house. Like the door was open. He was this creepy guy, Gareth Pursehouse or whatever.
He was on Kill Tony.
Yeah,
also.
And he got fucking he got annihilated, right? Like they made fun
I'm
of him
sure,
pretty
I'm
bad.
Sure, I am sure.
So anyways, this guy was showing those red flags, not only to Amy, but to my friend. And he was starting to do some trolling shit to my friend. And ultimately, they really loved each other. And when they broke up, not to say it was all, you know, him, but he had a small part to do with their breakup because he could not handle the psychotic behavior of her ex. And so fast forward to about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, I was skating with Nathan, my friend, my best friend, Nathan. And he goes, I'm going to go meet up Amy. They go have dinner. Like 3 days later after that dinner, I turn on fucking the news and she is murdered.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, wow. What the fuck, right? So then I start, you know, going down this rabbit hole of like analyzing shit. And apparently this guy had a restraining order for about like 5 years.
Yeah.
He waited for it to expire.
Whoa.
So those three things that led up to her death. One thing he did is he went to some award show she went to and caused a scene, begging her back. I mean, how pathetic is it that a woman has left you? It's been 5 years. He shows up to like, it's like you at Skankfest. You're about to go on stage and some chick just like Steve Lee and like, you know, causes a scene right before.
Oh.
There's a place and a time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he waited till that fucking, you know, restraining order expired so he could just go full psycho. She goes there. She just makes a fool out of him. You know, basically he gets escorted out by security. He's a psycho. Then he goes on Kill Tony, which if everyone knows, Steve Lee is a Kill Tony. You know, he's a very popular staple to that. But it's a little comedy thing where you go up, you do your 1 minute. Tony Hinchcliffe, bunch of comedians.
Yeah, you sign up, you pick a name from the bucket.
So he got on there somehow and got roasted. I mean, I heard it was so bad.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
because sure. They're relentless. Like, yeah. If you're up there and you're a fucking douchebag, you're going to get called out.
Yeah.
So he goes up there and gets, like, you know, verbally annihilated. And so I think at that point, he just probably felt hopeless. Where he just probably, in his mind, just made up
for someone like that, okay, so he's suspected killing Amy, right? It's like a stalker, right? And they already have some kind of mental illness. That's a form of mental illness. So I met a guy. Okay, I used to run like a small workshop in San Francisco. And one of the guy was... Oh, one of the girls in the class was kind of pretty. So there's an old man. He was kind of trying to be friend with me. And he was driving. I was, you know, I drop him off one time. He was okay, but he's a little weird. You know what I mean? Like weird, but okay. He claimed he used to be in showbiz. He know all the agent names and all that, right? And then one time, this girl in the workshop, we contacted each other because she was trying out comedy. So she, I would tell her, you know, where to go sometimes to hit up mics. And one time she was talking about, dude, Steve, this guy one night tried to hit me up. Like, he kept texting me. Like, telling me, like, he knows where I live and all that. And she couldn't take it. She was like, she called the police. And actually, the police told her, this guy's name is on their database.
For like killers and
like stalker,
yeah, and it's a very
it's like ignore him, try to block him because yeah, this guy has mental illness.
Well, it's just sad.
So he's on the list.
But here's the thing: what's sad about Amy is there was no way she could have prevented it.
She's a trained psychologist.
Yeah, because right? Dude made up his mind, and if you guys go and look up some shit about him. Dude, he's joking about Game of Thrones, about I've never seen that show, but, you know, there's a scene, I guess someone gets thrown off a fucking building, and he's, you know, making jokes on his Instagram prior to this murder, and it's just sad because a lot of times these types of situations are not preventable. Even though, you know, they could have been preventable, the only way it could have been preventable is if she were to have known any, like, had a gun or some sort of self-defense to protect herself. That's the only way. And honestly, I think because of that, I signed up for kickboxing. I never know, dude. You never know when you could be a victim, and you gotta be ready to defend yourself and be prepared in case something.
Well, I
goes
would
down.
Learn jiu-jitsu, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I just want to learn to, like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's better to fend people off. to grab people off.
Steve, you're not going to grab anyone with your fucking condition.
Not me. No. Jiu-jitsu, man. What are you talking about?
You could do jiu-jitsu in your
state? No, not me. I mean you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try all of that. I just want to learn how to be able to defend my... Like, I've been in a bunch of fights, but I'm not a fighter. I don't know how to fight for real.
Yeah, just... I mean, what I mean is just, you know, like, hold people off. You know,
yeah,
just,
I would just, like to have the actual just, skill set.
Yeah, just, like, make sure... Like, in a bar. Even in a bar. You have been in a show that people shank, you know, stab other people.
Oh, yeah. I've been... I've been held at, I've had some, my time of, like, you know, pretty weird encounters, but I don't know. That one kind of bummed me out. It just bummed me out. I think it's bumming to anyone who knows anyone, and then they get murdered. Like, I don't know if there's a lot of people you can say, like, my friend got murdered.
No,
like,
I
it's a anybody. Very bold statement.
Yeah,
and,
I don't know anybody.
I just can't believe that had happened. And the sad thing about that is there was so many red flags, and all of them turned out to be correct.
Wow.
And so I think for anyone listening, women, men, just be aware and be prepared in case that you come into a situation.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys who do stuff like this, stalking women, harassing them on the street. One time I was, my friend, he just, he went to college from Hong Kong, and his English was okay. And he was taking a court class, understand American judiciary system kind of class. And it's very complicated, right? The English, the language.
Yeah.
So I went to one of his homework was to go to a court. Like literally, you can just walk into a courthouse and listen to the whole court. Like, you can just sit there. How many of us have you done it before?
Gonna
like literally? No. Like, sit as an audience. You go to a court, sit there as an audience.
No.
So I did that with my friend, right?
I would never go to court for entertainment. The place sucks, dude.
It's actually happened that there was the guy, the first guy was in a jumpsuit, orange jumpsuit, an African-American dude. And the lady, she's a Chinese girl. And the incident happened in San Francisco, and a guy kept harassing her on the street. And finally, I guess the police got him, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if he was sentenced, but I absolutely remember this one. The judge put a restraining order on this guy with her. That's the first time I learn there's such thing, the restraining order.
What's sad is that it's like that shit doesn't work.
Well,
like people can violate it and then
at least it's better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
At least it's better than nothing.
Just get a fucking gun and go to a firing range and fucking learn how to defend yourself.
Or at least you learn some kind of Brazilian jiu-jitsu or that.
Yeah.
Kind of just fan people off.
Well, what I love about now is like that women have this. Like, I go to UFC gym.
Yeah.
And I'm more scared of the girls than the boys because, like, seriously, like, we live in a new generation of women like that are learning to fight. So good luck to you fucking idiots out there who think, oh, you're going to mug some girl running at a park. Because she'll probably like Ronda Rousey your ass, and you won't even know what hit you. You know like,
those guys deserve it.
I do.
I feel it for women, man. I mean, I'm a I have a disability. I've also people don't like guys.
I just
guys don't harass me. But imagine if I were a woman.
What I don't like is unfairness.
Yeah.
Like I don't like if you're this big guy, you're obviously physically. Capable of hurting someone and you use that to your advantage. Like, that's not a fair fight.
Dude.
And that's why, like, I think that, like, when I hear, like, guys who hit women, guys who do shit like this guy, Gareth, this guy was 6'5". I mean, he was pretty jacked. he was pretty muscular. I mean, there's pictures of him online. He's fucking ripped. But I mean, come on, dude. You're preying on this like 5 foot five, like 140 pound psychologist. Like, I just don't like when people have disadvantages and they take advantage of those disadvantages. And that's why I think being fucking, you know, learning self-defense. This is why I love Conor McGregor. This is why I love Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter, because Conor is 5 foot eight. He's about 165 pounds, but he's so skilled. He's so confident. And, you know, what he talks about is, quote, he's just like, there's no such thing as talent. This is just hard work. You can will yourself to be that Conor. You can will yourself to be like someone with enough like skill set physically where you could, you know, dismantle someone in a situation like that. And I think after the Amy thing, after enough like weird things that have happened to me, I'm gonna take the next phase in my life to learn to be a good fighter.
You know, Zach, one of our good friends, who's also a comedian, he learned Muay Thai. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he kicked the bag. At one time, his toe got smashed. Just kicking the bag. Like, are you ready for that kind of punishment?
Yeah, well, you need to. I mean, I skate. I naturally, I've taken Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu before. Like, I'm not into it. I've taken bikes, boxing, and kickboxing. But now the mindset that I have is I want to learn for self-defense. So I would learn that shit the way I learned skating, the way I learned comedy, and get good at that. Because I want to be able to fucking be able to defend myself. Like, I watch all these Donnie Yen movies, like IP Man 4. I'm like, fuck, dude. I would love to be that dude. Where, like, some dude hits you, like, and you just can fucking, like, block
him. Well, didn't you get bullied when you were a kid? Like,
I did. I got bullied.
Like, didn't you? Okay, why do you didn't develop that attitude back in the days?
Well, I think with me, I was not really into it. I was more, I wasn't into, like, fighting or, like, I did get bullied, but I just think I found skating before I found anything else. And then once I found that, it just consumed my life. But it could have been the same way. Like, if I didn't find skating, I picked up some boxing gloves. Like, I have that mindset of I can learn and be good. I will learn and be good. Like, that's the way I see. Like, everything in this life is a skill that you can learn.
So did you start skating first or comedy first?
Skating. I always say this, guys. I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm a skateboarder who happens to do comedy. At the end of the day, like, I love comedy. It's, you know, if you ask me between the both, I love skating, I love comedy, but comedy and skating both pay my bills. So there is an equal balance of love. I would say skating and comedy it's just different, but they are very parallel in terms of the hard work, the work ethic, the discipline, the, you know, throwing yourself into the unknown. They're very similar in the things that you do. And I think that's why I'm able to do both like so well.
That's good, man. That's good. Dude, your beer is strong, dude.
Yeah. So I gave Steve Lee a 10% beer. And
damn. I feel it, dude.
Yeah. These beers.
Give me some water.
Yeah, this guy needs some water.
Because we're going to do a show later. Because I don't get all fucked up.
So in about 30 minutes from now, actually,
yep,
we are doing a coronavirus benefit show. It sounds weird. Like, you're benefiting by getting a fucking lung infection.
Hey, did you hear Corona lost I think almost like 30% of the sales?
Are you kidding me?
Because their name is too similar to the to the virus.
Here's the fucking retarded thing. Why'd you guys pick Corona? I guess there is the
I like the line they put on there. The lime they put on the beer, like the on the top of the bottle.
Yeah, but here's the thing about coronavirus, and this is where it goes back to my Illuminati theory. So they're like, oh, bring on the coronavirus, and like, what should we name it? They're like, let's name it Corona. Let's put the like, let's bring the Mexican.
Oh, you mean the beer is too similar? Oh, the virus name.
I don't like the name.
Oh,
the coronavirus. Name. I think it's hilarious.
I think the name exists before because it's a type of virus name. It's a type of virus.
Have you seen those memes of like cholos? Like they're the coronavirus. That shit's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's just like a coincidence. Imagine like your company is like $1 billion in sales, right? And then all of a sudden, all this stuff happened just because of the stupid name that is the same as your beer name.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
they
lost
definitely.
Like 25% of your revenue. Like this is both.
Yeah,
this is like that most unlucky thing that you can ever experience.
It's kind of like the Popeye's chicken thing, but in reverse. You know, like
what was the Popeye's chicken thing?
Well, Popeye's chicken became like a global phenomenon where, like, you know, people just wanted to eat that sandwich so bad, in a good way, because it had a good stitch to it, but. When you think coronavirus, you think Corona. So what idiot is out there like, I'm not going to get a Corona. I might get a virus, Don.
It's exactly that. You know, some drunk idiot.
It's just crazy because I live in a very concentrated Chinese neighborhood. Majority Chinese.
I mean, maybe like 30% Mexican.
Yeah, and it's very easy to become like the way I want to describe it is like if the zombie apocalypse were to break out.
Here?
Just the coronavirus in general, like if people were to get infected, how easily we would turn on one another, right?
Oh, of course. It's already happening. You know, like in China, you saw those videos? So people are supposed to quarantine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the community guards, like you know, like they're supposed to guard the, you know, clean the streets, like you know, like a parking mate.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're
yeah.
supposed to also take care of other streets. They're like not as big as police, but they're almost police. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they work on the street. So they block everybody's door. They literally use a metal bar to block people's doors from getting outside.
Wow.
And then like some places, they even like block most of the window. I'm like, are you sure you're going to give food to them? Because they could die in there. You know what I mean? Like somebody, actually it happened. One boy. He has cerebral palsy.
Oh, no.
No, the thing is, his dad got the virus, right?
Ooh.
So his dad was dragged to the hospital. And his dad kept telling the hospital people, hey, I got a son I got to take care of. Of course the people in the hospital are fucking busy. They work like the whole day.
Yeah.
They don't have time to like call the police. You know, to his apartment, like, hey, can you find somebody to take care of his boy? Oh, and his boy died, dude.
Dude, are you kidding?
Yeah, after a few days,
how
died of hunger? Because his boy like is severely disabled. He couldn't take care of himself.
Died of hunger?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Imagine his kid like full of shit.
Yeah,
in
and
his
they
pants.
Yeah they took him away.
Because
he needs.
Exactly. Like yeah. somebody's supposed to, you know, feed him or take him to a center or something. That's yeah, this is something like that is gonna happen. And yeah, it's like that's why it's kind of serious. Like don't put it in your mind like, oh, it's just like a flu. No. This is not just like a flu. But it's not to the extent that you need to like go buy like a couple tons of water.
Yeah, you know,
like
mask.
Yeah, like that's just
like,
too crazy.
My thing is like, do they really think the mask is gonna keep?
I mean, to be honest, if I right now if I sneeze, right now, if I have the virus
and I have the mask,
even if you have this mask on, you're done.
You're done.
You're still done.
How empowering is it to be Asian and then just like, if someone like is really like giving you a hard time, just sneeze on them. Just be like, don't make me do it.
Like, ah. No, okay. But here's the thing: the mask is actually for the people who don't know they have it. If they sneeze, that will block most of the virus.
Oh, so that's what the mask is.
Yep. But well, you know, people are not disciplined. You know what I mean? People are not that disciplined.
I think San Francisco is in a state of emergency, right? Yeah.
I mean, they declared it. At this point, when you start finding people who haven't been to China and they got it, it's too late. The virus is already in the community.
Damn.
Yep. So it's not like something that is going to kill you like Ebola. Ebola death rate is pretty
so
high.
So what is the, like, it feels like a flu, like, from what you know about
basically,
it?
Basically, is almost like a flu. The symptoms, but you don't even have a sore. The flu, you get a sore, right? Like in your muscle and.
So this one is just what? Coughing.
Almost like a severe cold.
That's it?
Yeah, that's the problem. Because
how do you die?
That I don't remember. But it's like, that's why a lot of people thought they have a cold, but then they ended up having like high fever, really high fever.
Okay.
For like 2-3 days.
And that's
corona. That's already too late.
You're corona.
Yeah. The problem is most people who got the virus they wouldn't know, like the first week. They wouldn't know it. So while they have the virus, they're just walking around, going to the supermarket,
like they
going
don't
to
know.
School, going to work. Yep. That's how the virus passed.
But then you don't really die, right?
2%. I mean, for now, it's 2%.
But there's no cure.
3%.
So you just have it forever?
Yeah, for now, you don't have a cure.
So you just have it forever?
No, you develop your body have an immune system. And you have your body kill the virus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're
that's,
chilling.
That's the point of your immune system. Is your immune system...
So your immune system can kill the virus.
Yeah, they learn the virus. And then they start producing an antibody for that virus.
Wow.
To kill the virus. That's the point of immune system.
That's so crazy just thinking that our immune system does
that. Yep, exactly.
So then you don't need a cure. You just...
Well, the problem is what they're saying is 2% is still too high in modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the flu is under 1%.
Okay.
But if it's 2% or more, they're saying it's still too high.
Wow.
And also it's a new virus. So most people don't have the immune... are not... immune to it.
They got the immune.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to get out of here because we have a show in about 30 minutes.
Yep.
And if you guys are listening or whatever, it's going to be at apartment 503 in Koreatown. I'm sure you won't hear this before then, but
follow George Wayne Comedy.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram, George Wayne Jr. Just don't follow me in real life and throw me off a balcony.
By the way, George has a balcony.
I do. You could kill me by throwing me off my balcony, but please don't do that. I will fucking have jujitsu down by that time. So I will put you to sleep. So follow me, George Wayne Jr. I'm very excited. A few things I want to plug. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Roadhouse Tavern and Route 66 Bar in... just follow me on Instagram, George Wayne Jr. I have a bunch of dates. I'm headlining a theater in June, on June 1st.
Whoa.
Exciting news. Covina Theater.
Yeah, damn.
So follow George Wayne Jr. on the Instagram. And then Steve Lee, where can we follow you at?
SteveLeeComedy.com.
And that's it. And when's Skankfest?
I'm sorry?
When's Skankfest?
End of March.
End of March.
I've heard most of the tickets already sold out.
And is there any other shows coming? Or
Just go to Steve Lee Comedy. Tomorrow at Flappers.
Flappers?
Comedy.
Okay, Flappers Comedy in Burbank?
Yep, Burbank. And also, I'm going to do a comedy. No, I'm going to actually, I'm getting into filming.
Okay.
So I'm doing.
And you have a performance at the, for the Crazy Woke Asian Solo Festival, right?
Yep, yep.
So in May?
That's in May, late May.
Late May, yep. Santa Monica yep. Theater. We got to get the fuck out of here. So, guys, stay safe. Wear your surgical mask. Don't get the coronavirus. And don't hang out with me if you get it. All right, I'll talk to you later. Peace.